I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined today by Jerry Hamilton, On3 national recruiting reporter, as well as Inside Texas reporter. Jerry, how are you doing today?
Good, guys. On 300 rankings release day, which was just released about 5 minutes ago. And then, and the show must go on after that. So getting ready for a Texas spring game Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at the things that we need to talk about today, and I want to split the show for those watching. I want to split the show really into two segments, Jerry. And you and I have talked about this. The first one, I want to talk about some of the remaining portal targets that Texas is after. We mentioned those in the scoop this morning on Inside Texas. And then also I want to delve into really what we think the overview of the recruiting class looks like from a numbers perspective. I just want to go position by position. So really get a feel for people, so people can get a real feel for the number of commitments or signees Texas is looking for by each position. I'll start with really the biggest news to me of the weekend was O'Shawn Mathis, the defensive end that Texas wants and needs, frankly, from TCU, expected to grad transfer at the end of May, is going to make his decision known at the end of this month, actually. But he shows up on campus for an unofficial visit on Saturday. I mean, that's got to be great news for the Longhorns.
Yeah, absolutely. A second visit, to Texas since obviously Gary Patterson was hired at Texas. We can argue the name impacts of others, but as far as impact on the field, it doesn't get much better than bigger than O'Shawn Mathis. And I don't believe any of us have heard anything different that, Texas is considered the favorite over Nebraska right now as he gets closer to that end of the month announcement. I think one of the key questions now is, does he come back again for the spring game Saturday? I'm not privy to that information right now. We'll see if that does happen, but obviously he's from Manor right down the road. So he comes home on weekends. I mean, from TCU, I mean, you couldn't come up with a reason why he probably wouldn't show up Saturday if he's in town.
Yeah, especially if you can get an official visit and do that sort of thing and really be there with the team through a number of days, basically, right? And get a feel for it. At the same time, he's been to Austin twice now. And some people have asked me, and my take on it is, what's not to like about him showing up kind of on his own? I think that we talk about it all the time, you and I do. Follow the visits. Yes. Like if a guy is going somewhere, that means he likes them. It's just like, I mean, just as much as Javen Toviano went twice to A&M a week or so ago, and you're all of a sudden looking at the Arlington Martin cornerback like, hey, maybe the Aggies are the favorite here. Likewise, you have to think that Mathis visiting Texas again is a thought process there. But at the same time, it's not definitive. And we won't know for sure really what he's thinking, I think, until the end of this month.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I think all the signs point to Texas, but you got, like you said, you got to wait until that final answer comes. I mean, look, he knows his need. He is going to be comfortable with Gary Patterson being part of the program. He stayed close to home once before in the recruiting process. It would make some sense why you would stay close to Manor for one more year of college football. And again, but I think the need, I think the need there, I think conference familiarity, he's a back-to-back second team, all Big 12 pick. He knows the opponents. He knows the personnel. I think a lot of things point towards Austin, but we will wait until that definitive answer.
Another player that was on campus this weekend with his family was Ajay Hall, the Alabama transfer receiver. You spoke to a close source to him early last week. I know you reached out to that same source since the visit, but have yet to hear back from him. Status quo, as far as we know, looks good for Texas. What are your thoughts on that one, Jerry?
Yeah, I think status quo as far as we know. And look, until he shows up on another campus, I think it looks great for Texas. We'll see what the visit schedule looks like. But here's the thing. If he doesn't schedule another visit, well, he's going to Texas because he's not going back to Alabama, barring the unforeseen. So that's kind of the key thing, is the next part of Hall's process is there going to be another visit set up, and when would that visit be?
Yeah.
We don't have that information right now. We're trying to get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's going to be one of those things that maybe it may be information that's hard to come by. So we're going to work extra hard, but it's just with these portal candidates, it's interesting. The news cycle is a little bit different, Jerry, than it is the high school players, because the high school players there are multiple people you can reach out to. There's high school coaches, there's common teammates or friends that are also being recruited that they also know. I mean, with the portal candidates, it's really just them and their parents that have the inside scoop.
And these kids have been through the game once already. They know the game. They know the recruiting game. They know the landscape. And I just think about what we just saw with Amarius Mims. Oh, he's going to Florida State. Oops, no, put that car in reverse. He's staying at Georgia. I mean, and people reporting that he was going to FSU and it was a done deal. And now he's headed back to Georgia. So, you know, it's a different day and age with the portal kids and recruiting. And the vast majority don't return to a school. But look, these kids have been through the recruiting process before. They're going to be really tight with their information. So it's just more digging for all of us at Inside Texas and On3 Network and everybody in our industry.
Another guy that's expected to visit this week is someone that should be somewhat familiar to Texas fans. That's Caleb Johnson. This shows you know, the craziness of the portal in some ways. It is indicative of an issue that we're trying to walk ourselves through. But Johnson signed with Texas out of Fullerton College, I think in December of 2018. So the 2019 class or December 2019 for the 20 class. Played a little bit for Texas as a linebacker, primarily special team stuff, for three games, opted to transfer to UCLA, starts 17 out of 18 games at UCLA, 44 tackles, 5.5 sacks his first year at UCLA, production down a little bit the following year. Now he's expected to be on Texas's campus. He was at Miami this week when we last talked to him. What are your thoughts there? And really, what position do you see him playing? Given Texas, Jalen Ford is apparently looked good. DeMar Overshown looked okay. Is he a true star? Is he a starter from game one for Texas? Or is he a depth guy, work his way in? I mean, what are your thoughts on Caleb?
I think that's an interesting part of the process with Caleb Johnson. A fifth-year senior of college football isn't walking in anywhere to be a depth piece in his mind. So I think that's kind of what Texas is going to have to answer as a staff and answer when they talk to Caleb Johnson. I mean, you know, Overshown's locked in at one spot. I mean, there's no way around that, right? And Ford, even Bend has been mentioned, has improved in the spring. So I think that's the real question, is where does that opportunity lie for him? Is it Miami or Texas? Texas obviously has the familiarity. He jumped on that opportunity out of junior college for a reason. I remember that. He really liked Austin. He kind of had a felt at home with Texas. Things have obviously changed. But, you know, that's the real question with this recruitment, and one I don't think we have an answer to right now, because I think those conversations on that visitor are going to be so important. Is, you know, nobody transfers to be a backup player in their mind, or to be a piece in their mind. So that's really the big questions that Texas is going to have to answer for for Johnson on the visit is you know, what is the role? What do they expect from him? What are the other pieces at the position? Because Miami's had a chance to clear that up for him.
Let me ask you this serious question. Nobody wants to talk about, or nobody, I shouldn't say nobody wants to, nobody has really talked about it. Texas signs Mathis, Johnson, Hall, just, you know, putting it out there. Does that affect any Texas players, existing Texas players, potentially putting their name in the portal after spring ball?
I mean, at the receiver position, I mean, you could see it. I mean, we're kind of spitballing here, but I mean, you had Nayor, you had Hall, who played at Alabama. He didn't have a big role, but he played. And you had a Brennan Thompson coming in, a Xavier Worthy, you know, is going to get 100 targets. Jordan Whittington back healthy. And if you're not in that first rotation, you kind of wonder what your future looks like. How much patience are you going to have? And I think that's a legitimate thing. And, you know, it's been interesting kind of to hear about, you know, mixing in all the other tight ends along with Jaleel Billingsley in the spring, because you know there were some concerns there bringing in a guy that's essentially started 2 years at Alabama off and on, and a guy that's an NFL prospect headed in the last season. So I think that is what makes the portal fascinating. We get into the recruiting, who's coming to your program, but we don't often talk enough about how that can affect the guys at the program. And I think that combined with where guys on the depth chart coming out of the spring, right? If you're already not in that too deep and then somebody's coming in at your position, well, then that's going to make you take a look at the school you're at and where your future is.
Let me ask you this, Jerry. You and I both wrote about this over the weekend. The quality of player right now Texas has brought in the portal. Quinn Ewers was a 1-1.
Yeah.
He was the number one ranked prospect in the country for his class year. He comes to Texas through the portal. Isaiah Nayor, all conference, one of the top receivers returning in the country, 12 touchdown catches a year ago. Texas gets him through the portal. Jaleel Billingsley, you just mentioned him as a potential NFL guy, started 2 years at Bama. And then Ryan Watts started some at Ohio State as a corner, then moved to safety. Those four guys are already on campus for Texas. You add guys like O'Shawn Mathis, two-time All Big 12, second teamer, albeit, but still pretty good player. And then a guy that's a five-star like a Jai Hall. Caleb Johnson was second team All Pac 12 in 2020. You start adding those guys to the list. At least Ewers, Nayor, Watts, and Billingsley, and Mathis, we know, have NFL aspirations, right? If they just ended with those five, irrespective of Hall, who definitely is a five-star prospect, definitely has NFL aspirations and talent level. We know that. Yep. I mean, what I've seen, I've mentioned this, the Ole Misses and South Carolinas and USC's have all gotten a lot more publicity, I think is the best word to put it, over their recruiting classes through the portal. But are they necessarily better than what Texas has gotten? I mean, we don't know if Jackson Dart or Caleb Williams is better than Quinn Ewers for what they're doing. I'm just going to say that. And those are the two headliners of those two classes. And I look at the receiver group. I mean, Nayor is, I think, the highest rated receiver that was in the portal altogether. Watts and Billingsley. Billingsley is the top tight end in the portal. Where are your thoughts right now on what they've done in total through the portal at this point, and what might become of it the next couple of days here?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, in Texas is not getting as much run nationally as they should for the work in the portal. Now, if they hit on a couple more guys here, I think Mathis would kind of bring that to people's attention. That'd be a two-time, like you said, All Big 12 selection, and Hall would be another guy that transfers from Alabama that played in a national championship game. My thing when I look at it is, last year in the portal, I think it was filling holes, and I think they did that to a certain extent the best they could. This year in the portal is the difference in winning games, and I think that is a major, massive difference. And the same can be said for an Ole Miss. They were forced to go that route. and a South Carolina potentially, although I'm not, I'm if Spencer Rattler becomes a great player, I'll be shocked. Okay. I mean, I don't see it. But you know, you take all the portal guys, if Mathis jumped in the boat, okay, you're better on the edge. Nayer makes you better at receiver because he helps make, Xavier Worthy become a better player just by being on the field. He can stretch the field vertically, gives you a size you didn't have and size speed combo you didn't have last year. Billingsley is a matchup problem at tight end. He can actually stretch the field and opens up a little bit more of the playbook. You look, Ryan Watts brings size to the cornerback position in physicality, and I believe fits the scheme. So when you look at those things, those are all guys who are actually going to impact winning games. And of course, obviously it comes down to once you get to a certain level, Quinn Ewers, Hudson Card, I believe Ewers wins the job. So how good is he going to be in year one as a quarterback? But they've got guys that are going to impact winning this year. And I think that's the big difference. And when you're trying to go from 5-7 to 8-9 wins, the portal is absolutely your friend and a needed. You need to get needed results out of that portal. And I think they're on their way to doing that.
I want to mention this. Chris Gilbert, the director of player personnel or high school relations, excuse me, for the University of Texas, gets a lot of credit, due credit, by the way, for his ability to recruit and connect with some kids. And that's all well and good, and he deserves it. The one person that I think that we miss a lot is Billy Glasscock, who came over from North Carolina State. He, in my opinion, has done a tremendous job. Not only in the portal, but also evaluation-wise from the high school ranks. Keep that name in mind because I really believe that Texas is connecting on some things here and staying true to its evaluation like we've talked about. I just feel like that's, you know, you can't control everything that's going around. You can't control if A&M's getting a number one recruiting class. You can't control what Oklahoma or Alabama or anybody else is doing. You only control what you have yourself. And I think I think Texas football's looking good from a personnel perspective because they're doing a good job of evaluation and staying on things.
And I'll say one more thing about the portal with this class. Let's say Mathis does jump in. We call it contract year. I mean, Billingsley, Nayor has a ability to be a draft pick. Mathis, I mean, those are all guys that, you know, could be one-year guys and go on to the draft. Those are ideally the guys you want that are already successful players, that they're coming to you with 1 year left and try to get their name in the NFL draft. I mean, those are ideal guys because they're going to be playing with a purpose. They're 1, maybe 2 years in Austin and in Nayor's, you know, if he stays too.
Yeah. No, I get it. So let's move on from portal. I want to thank people for sticking with us. By the way, Jerry and I both write for and work for InsideTexas.com. We have a special one more week, I think, going through the spring game. Please jump on it if you get a chance. For incoming new subscribers, 4 months for just $1 at InsideTexas.com. Also, if you get a chance, please, we've seen a big uptick in our YouTube subscriptions and podcasts of late. We appreciate it. We're trying to bring you the best information we know how. We're all contributing to that. Please click that subscribe button on the lower right-hand portion of your screen. All right, Jerry, next piece. Want to go to the just really a numbers situation because I don't know that people have really heard this from us. What Texas is looking for in a recruiting from a recruiting perspective as it relates to high school recruiting by position. So quarterback, we know they want one quarterback this year. We know who that quarterback is, Arch Manning. Any debate on the numbers there? Is it zero or one definitely? I think that's
question. I think it's one definite. The question is, if Arch went another direction at the end of the day, where does that one come from? Does it come from high school? Does it come from the portal? That's the unknown right now. I think that's something that you don't even talk about realistically until Arch Manning makes his decision.
Okay, fair enough. I think so, 0-1, but actually it's just one is what you're saying. You think it's one from somewhere. All right, running back, 2 is what I have. Is that correct?
I think 2 is correct. You know, look, do you have Cedric Baxter, the number one running back in the country? Reuben Owens, our number 2 running back in the country.
Did you see what he did? Did you see what he did on the track this week?
10.68 that's a great number for
almost Reuben. 23 in the long jump too.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing with Reuben is a lot of people look at the competition he plays and said, okay, how fast is he really? Well, he just proved how fast he really is. So now he's got a little feather in his cap on the recruiting front for all the fans and all the schools. They're like, yeah, we think this guy's really good, but you know, nobody can tackle him down there. He's faster than everybody. Well, now he's track fast too. So, which means he's ascending. Even though he's a little older for his grade, that doesn't mean he's tapped out. He's ascending, and that's always a great thing when you're adding weight and strength and still getting faster.
One of the guys that did show up on campus today or this weekend was Jeremiah Cobb, 5'11", 190 pounds out of Montgomery Catholic there in Alabama. Texas offered him. It's one of Texas, Tashard Choice is offering a bunch of out-of-state running backs to go along with Reuben Owens that we mentioned and Cam Cook, also in-state, Trey Wisner and Amarian Peterson. But of those out-of-state running backs, tell us a little bit about Jeremiah Cobb since he was just on campus this weekend.
Yeah, he's a guy that was at one of the Under Armour camps recently. It was 5'10 and change, 5'10 and a half, about 185 pounds. I think he's a really solid back. He's got the instincts. He's got the feet in the hole. I don't know the level of athlete he is. He scratched some times at that camp that one of our coworkers attended. So we'll have to see on that. I think the main thing is, with Texas is they're positioning themselves with a bunch of other backs. You know, you have Cameron Cook at Stony Point, right? You mentioned Amarian Peterson, now Cobb. They've had been in contact with Javon Simpkins out of Miami. So they're John Randall, obviously they offered, and I'm not sure he's a number two back. He's just a really good back, but so they're positioning themselves well to make sure they get some return visits to campus in June, July, see where things are at. I mean, Cedric Baxter, obviously the chatter in our industry remains that Florida is going to be in a good spot. At the end of the day, maybe Georgia, but the school's closer to Miami. And I will say, when I stopped by and spoke with Cedric a few weeks ago in Orlando, I did get the impression that there was something within his family could keep him closer to home. But that's a kid that Texas will recruit through the whistle. Same with Reuben Owens. But I think that's the bit that, and that's what the staff's done so well, is those other guys that you offer. You have to offer them to stay in the game, and then how long do you stay in the game? You got to get those kids back on campus, and I think they're doing a good job with that.
Last thing I want to mention on running backs, Cobb's visit is one of the things that's interesting to me is Texas continues to push further east in recruiting. They just going to the SEC, they're continuing to push further east than what you and I, who have been doing this for a couple decades, are familiar with them doing.
And I think that's twofold. I think, yes, the move to the SEC and to Tashard Choice has the ties in Georgia. And, but I also think it's twofold. I think Lincoln Riley being on the West Coast makes offensive recruiting tougher, more difficult for Steve Sarkisian, even though they have a ton of ties. So I think it's a little bit of forced hand in a way as well.
That's interesting. So you're saying from the out West perspective, they can't tap into that market as well as they perhaps could because the 1-1s out there are going to SC most likely. Okay, yep. That's fair. Speaking of wide receiver from Los Alamitos was on campus this weekend, DeAndre Moore, big-time player. But really, how many wide receivers do you see Texas, back to our original topic, how many wide receivers do you see Texas taking in this class?
I it's a three or four number. I mean, if Ajay Hall went to Texas, could that push it to three, potentially, unless somebody else leaves? But I think you're looking at a 3-4 number at wide receiver. And look, I mean, we could go through, there's eight or nine guys that are four stars that are in the on 300 or right outside the on 300. And they've all been on campus. And we know Texas likes a lot, all those guys, obviously. I don't think the pecking order is necessarily set until after the May in-person evaluations. I think there's a few guys that if they called and raised their hand, Texas would take the commitment. But I also think they want to take a look at these guys in May. You know, Brennan Marion, he's familiar with a lot of these guys, but it's like we talked about the last time, getting those kids on campus and having that conversation with him and Steve Sarkisian is big. And then two, getting out in May and watching these guys, watching them work, watching them be coached. I mean, and all the phone calls with the high school coaches and whatnot, that's one thing, but seeing it with your own eyes, like we talk about all the time, is so much more important. So I think they have a really good group of guys that will fill those three or four slots. I think the big question is who gets the big pushes come May.
Yeah. Jalen Hale was in on campus this weekend. Justin Wells said that he had a really surprisingly good time. McCall Harrison Pilot, a guy that I wanted to mention to you out of Temple. He's being recruited by Steve Sarkisian, right? All of these guys, and those aren't the guys necessarily that we've been talking about at the outset at recruiting, but you know, the Longhorns on all of them.
Yeah, they're absolutely in on all those guys. And, you know, like you said, Steve Sarkisian personally recruiting Harrison Pilot, which is one of the more interesting recruitments. He's got ties to Houston. He likes Oklahoma. One of his best friends going to Baylor. Texas, obviously, there. It feels like one that's going to stay close to home. And he can play receiver, obviously, so he could factor into those numbers as well. Or he could just be a true athlete, and you really technically decide after he comes and works out at receiver. But, yeah, they're in on the right guys. They're going to sign a really good wide receiver class. The question is, when they put that final board together after May, are they going to get the top three or four? You know, Jaden Greathouse from Westlake's a battle. He's been on campus twice. That's going to be a battle with Clemson and Oklahoma, possibly Notre Dame. But that's the guys you want to recruit. You want to recruit the guys that everybody else wants. If you're not recruiting the guys everybody else wants, you're not going to ascend.
Yeah. Hey, I will say this to you real quick. One of the things that you and I both would agree on, I think, is that every wide receiver that comes to campus seems to like what they see.
Yes. Yes. I mean, Brennan Marion.
That was not the case a year ago with the
Andre former Coleman. Correct. Yeah. Andre I think Brennan Marion's such a great communicator and has such great energy that I think these young kids feed off that. They like the vibe. They like the energy. They respond to it. And I think it's a genuine energy and positivity. And kids are always going to respond to the genuine energy.
Gotcha.
That's the one thing we know about recruiting. They are always going to respond to genuine energy.
All right. Tight end. How many?
One or two. I mean, you know, Will Randall, Kiway, you know, so Justin Wells of Inside Texas feels great about where Texas sits with Randall. Kiway went to Oklahoma Friday and was offered, as expected. They kind of get on him late, but now they're in the game with North Carolina and Texas. Kiway has the June 24th through 26th visit that North Carolina scheduled, and he's expected to make a decision late June. But, you know, we'll see if that number is one or if they push it to two.
Got it. And it sounds like the only one in state they're willing to push it to 2-4 is Kiway, right?
As of right now.
Yeah, that's all they see until they get out possibly and see some more.
It wouldn't shock me if they didn't go see a Jaden Platt in the spring. I mean, obviously he's a Stanford commit, but his testing times were off the charts at Under Armour in Dallas. I mean, he tested like a top national tight end. I bet we'll see some more eyes on him in May.
Got it. Offensive line, how many?
Four. I think the number's four right now. And you know, look there. The position, I think Texas is doing well with a number of those guys. I think it's going to be a slower process. They're going to go through the visit process, a lot of late summer decisions. You look at a Jaden Chapman, Texas made up a lot of ground on Harris Sewell. I think they're doing well with Ian Reed. And I'm not saying any of these guys are locks, but they're doing what they're supposed to do right now. They're very much in the hunt for all those guys. Connor Stroh's interesting. A&M offered him where both of his parents went. Texas has not done anything to make up any ground with TJ Shanahan. So there's really five in-state guys right now with Kojo that are jockeying, and Texas wants four of those guys, and could a couple of out-of-state guys emerge? Possibility. There's been some offers thrown out more to stay in the game than actual we'd take the commitment, but we'll see what happens again with the May evaluation period. But on the offensive line, I think you know who those five in-state targets are. And it looks like those recruitments are all going to go a little while, maybe with the exception of Kojo.
Reed's recruitment of late has really blown up. It's kind of funny. We were on him from the very start, and I know you went up and saw him, but offers from
he's a Midwest guy. So those Michigan, when those people start offering, you know, look, the father played college soccer in Miami of Ohio. The family's from the Midwest. So when those offers start piling up, I think it becomes an even more interesting recruitment for
Ohio Reed. State just offered, right?
There you go. Offered.
Yeah.
There you go.
Defensive front. You and I talked about this prior to hopping on this call. You don't necessarily think it's defensive ends and defensive tackles, separated as much as is it a total for the defensive front. Obviously, one guy is already in the boat, and that's Dylan Spencer, the big guy out of a Houston CE King that the Longhorns really like. He's already committed. But you think that it's a combination number for those for Jeff Choate and Bo Davis?
I just think we're gonna see five guys sign at the edge and D tackle D line positions. I think that's really what it's going to come down to. And some of those guys are hybrids, right? I mean, you know, you recruit a Dylan Spencer, and you know, maybe he begins his career at edge, but he ends up at D line on the interior. I mean, I just think Dylan Spencer is going to be 6'5", 290, 300 pounds. So Texas, you know, at D tackle, we've talked about this. They want some size. They want a big guy to hold the point of attack. Samu out of Atascocita is one of those guys. Sadir Mitchell out of New Jersey, I think they like his size. So one of those spots, they want a big body. They want somebody that can hold up at the point of attack, and I do think that's important if they get the guy they want in this class. I think edge is very interesting to me. I mean, we talk about, you know, Texas continuing to evaluate, and it sounds like a broken record, but I think May is big there. You know, you look at a guy like Braylon Shelby, I think Texas, USC are the top two for him, the edge kid out of Friendswood. But that process will go on a while. Does Colton Vosick show up at Texas? I mean, his father played there. He's been to Oklahoma. He's been to A&M. He's been to Oregon. Is he going to show up at Texas for the spring game this weekend? You know, where is Texas at with Vosick? And, you know, you just go down the line. But I think the main thing is just being patient with the evaluation process, making sure they find the correct fits. But I think that number will total five.
Got it. Billy Walton, by the way, expected to make his decision sometime soon. The defensive end edge guy out of South Oak Cliff. We need to keep an eye on that. Linebacker, how many?
Two to three. I mean, you got Burrell. Obviously, you still got to recruit these guys through the whistle. You want Anthony Hill. And Darren Gillette's such an intriguing prospect because we project him as an edge long-term. I just see the guy 6'3", 260, just, you know, coming off the edge. But Texas A&M, Alabama, Oklahoma, LSU all told him linebacker. So they're not telling him edge. They're telling him linebacker. So he's being recruited as a linebacker. So that number, that 2-3 number. And then you have some guys that I believe are more spring evaluations, Jonathan Hall at Katy. Where will his frame go? And then the big one, where will his frame go, is Javen Anderson at North Shore, who they're going to look at as a hybrid safety and linebacker, kind of the way they looked at Harold Perkins in the last class this spring when Texas goes to evaluate him in person, and that's per the North Shore staff. So I think, the numbers are good there. The question is, where do you come out on the Anthony Hill recruitment, one that could play out a while? That's Texas A&M, Oklahoma, and Miami's going to make a push. Obviously, visited Miami. The father's from South Florida. So I think it's just that the number's 2-3, and we'll see how it all works out.
Got it. Cornerback.
Yeah, I'm looking at two unless there's transfers at corner. You know, a couple of guys that Texas liked are off the board, Bravion Rogers and Javon Thomas. So we'll see where they go from there. Does Jordan Matthews a corner slash DB? He is in my mind. He's put up big track times, but that's going to have to translate to play speed on the field a little bit more. But I like two there. Obviously, Javen Toviano, Texas working to get him back on campus this weekend. And that's a big one because, as you said, he was at A&M and Baylor last weekend. I think A&M twice a couple weekends ago. So, you know, that's one that Texas needs to continue to get him on campus. And that's a recruitment. Look, Justin Wells and I were both at the district track meet for Arlington, and anybody you talked to, nobody had a feel for what Toviano was going to do. Georgia's very much in the mix there as well.
Yeah, I was going to say he's a bellwether recruitment, right? You're going to be able to tell which way the winds are blowing a little bit with him when he makes his decision. Tayshawn Wilson is another one that I want to keep in mind, the young man out of the Houston area. He's another corner that Texas is in on. At safety, Jerry, you thinking two or three or – 1-2? I mean, what is the number there, really?
I'm thinking 2-3, depending on where the staff is coming out of the spring. Well, how do they see the position? Because you've moved some guys around to that position. And kind of what are their thoughts going to be on those guys after the spring, and how much of a need do they still have there? How does, you know, Brian Allen factor into those future plans? What have they seen from him? I think, you know, a Keaton Crawford, how's he doing? It's all those things are going to factor into that number, but I expect it to be two. You know, Jamel Johnson's already in the boat. I expect it to be two. Then if a Derek Williams, you who you recruit through the whistle, wants to jump in, obviously you're not going to say no.
Yep. Derek Williams, two. It's interesting, two of the higher rated safeties that Texas actually has a legitimate shot at are both out of state. Derek Williams from New Iberia in Louisiana, and then also Makari Vickers out of Tallahassee.
And great bringing up Vickers. I mean, look, Sarkisian in Texas has a strong connection there with Vickers. One, he almost profiles the Texas. We talk about those kids, you know. He just stopping off at John Paul Catholic a few weeks ago in Tallahassee. You know, you talk to a man, you just get a feel like that kid would be very comfortable in Austin at Texas, University of Texas student athlete. And he is a student athlete. He visited Stanford. But Coach Sarkisian's wife is related to the wife of Vickers' personal trainer. So there is some strong connect there. The personal trainer and his wife made the trip to Austin with Vickers when he came in town. So there's a lot there. FSU is really battling to keep him home. I don't know if that happens at the end of the day. I think Stanford's in play. I think Oklahoma made a strong impression. I'll be surprised if he doesn't make an official visit to Texas.
And Tashard Choice also was a favorite of his prior to that when Choice was at Georgia Tech. All right, and it looks like Texas is going to probably take a would take a flyer on the right punter if it's the right punter comes along. As well. All right, Jerry, thank you for joining us. I know we went a little long today, but we tried to break down position scholarships that Texas is going to go in and the why behind it, as well as all of that portal news. Again, Jerry and I are with InsideTexas.com. Please give us a try. And we thank you for joining us. I really appreciate you guys listening in. For Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton, and this has been On Texas Football.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.